Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
I'm Jones.
And I'm Parker.
Today's topics that we're going to talk about are new computers. Jones, how old is your busted-ass old computer?
I can't recall. It's from whenever Bad Company 2 came out. Is that 6 or 7 years?
That was 2010.
Okay, so it's 7.5 years old. A little more than 7.5.
Is it as old as Denzel Washington in that Hurricane movie?
No, because he was 50 years old.
Right.
To be fair, though, video card's not that old, and it has an SSD, but the core of it is that old, though.
So it's got some surgery done to it.
Yes, but I've gotten my money out of it, I would say.
That would have been, like, what, second generation, like, i7?
Yeah, I got an i7, I think it was an i7-930, and that was pre-Sandy Bridge, even. So.
Damn, son.
Like, way back.
It's almost like a Z80 in there.
Look, it's lasted me 7.5+ years, so. Good stuff.
So why are you getting a new computer, then?
No reason. Just feel like it. I don't know.
It's like earlier.
You wouldn't drive a 7-year-old car, but you have a 7-year-old computer.
I did drive a 7-year-old car.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Would you drive one now?
I probably would. Yeah.
I mean, I've got
had your car for like, what, 3 years, right? You've had it for a while now, right?
Yeah, it's about 3.5. But the one I had before that was 10 years old, so.
I guess I shouldn't talk. My car is older than your computer.
Yeah, my car is 18 years old.
Damn.
Nice. But yeah, so, I don't know.
Are there any original parts left to your car, Parker?
Yes.
what were you saying, Jones?
I was going to say, yeah, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I play... Actually, my computer... I know you guys all think World of Warcraft's like a game that can run on like a 386 or something, but it's like a lot of the newer stuff is fairly graphically intensive, and so there's certain zones when I go into them that my computer will chug a fair amount and have a hard time rendering stuff without knocking the graphics down. So
that could be an interesting test. Like maybe someone on YouTube could do it. It's like, can you run World of Warcraft on a 2004 computer?
I bet you can't run it on it anymore.
No.
Yeah, it's probably been updated over the years.
Yeah, they've done a lot of stuff to that game, so.
Hell, in college, I was still running that game on a integrated Intel GPU.
Nice.
But that was back when it was still, the only expansion was the Burning Crusade, so.
Oh, yeah, that's been a while ago. That was, like, probably at least 10 years ago.
10 years, yeah.
Damn. Time passes by, and then you die. It rhymes. And then when you die, you have to say, time to die.
You think Tom Petty said that when he fell on the floor?
I hope not.
Probably not. He fell down because he was learning to fly.
Oh, good.
Oh, before we started recording, we were making a bunch of inappropriate Tom Petty puns.
You should definitely cut those in, though, Ben. They were pretty good.
Yeah.
Or should okay. you? I can get this by Thursday, October 5th.
So, Jones...
That's what I like about Amazon. Like, you know exactly when you're going to get it. Usually.
Usually.
It's true.
Unless Amazon Delivery delivers it.
What is Amazon Delivery?
It's like Uber for packages.
But does it suck? Unlike Uber, which is usually pretty good.
Yeah, Amazon Delivery is not very good.
And they probably use Uber drivers.
I was actually talking to my last Uber driver I had. He actually delivered for Amazon on the weekends because it paid really well.
Hey, we should talk about...
I think he said it was like $40 an hour.
Yeah, Amazon actually will pay postal workers to deliver packages on Sunday. Wouldn't it be funny if Amazon bought the postal service? Oh my God, I would just love to see the reaction to that.
Oh, like how they bought Whole Foods?
they did?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then actually Whole Foods lowered its prices.
By like 40%.
Oh, really? Yeah. So it's actually maybe worth shopping there now.
Well, yeah, what was the joke? It's like Jeff Bezos buys Whole Foods for $14 billion, realizes that will only get him 3 loaves of bread. No, actually, I think, what was it? Mike and I were talking about Uber the other night, and because I was trying to explain it to him, because of course he doesn't know what it is. And
I don't think they have any taxis in this town.
Well, they have taxis. Well, they've had taxis. They have Ubers.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about it. I don't know if you remember, if you guys remember, but taxi drivers used to be good, right? Because before GPS, before you could put like a $50 TomTom or a cell phone in people's cars, they had to know their way around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I think what happened was at a certain point, I'd say around 2005 or 2006, once they could just slap a GPS in every car, they probably got rid of all the good drivers and hired a bunch of idiots, right?
Yeah.
Because you ever notice that, Parker? Like, you have to kind of tell them where to go. Like, you have to do their job for them almost.
Yeah, I've noticed that. The only place I took a taxi was in Austin. And yeah, I had to do that.
Right. So I guess my point is, if all they're doing is following directions off a cell phone, that gives them no advantage above Uber. And I think that's why Uber has been decimating them.
Well, it's also the pricing, the fact that the Uber.
Exactly when they're showing up.
That's the biggest thing. And that's the thing is, like, the taxi company can compete if they just had an app just like that. That's all they have to do.
Right, but there's all sorts of taxi cars. They're all different companies. So for all those different companies in every town to develop an app, they're not going to have nearly the amount of
potential. What if you made
potential?
Uber decentralized app, which was you sold the app to all these taxi companies?
That's actually a good idea. Because, they're going to get destroyed by it.
Well, they already are.
Yeah, it's insane. When I was at Maker Faire, it looked like reverse hookers, I guess is the best way to put it. There's like this line of cars, at the gate, and people like sticking their head in the window seeing if it was their car. So all the Uber customers looked like
that actually happened
because every car was like a black Prius. So it's like, which one is it?
Yeah, that actually happened to Chris Kraft. When he picked me up at for MGC up in Milwaukee, like I got in the car and then someone stuck his head in the window thinking it was his Uber.
Oh, that seems likely.
So,
yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of interesting how, an industry that has kind of a weakness can be completely disrupted so quickly.
Well, I mean, think about BlackBerry. They got destroyed in like 2 years, so this went faster.
Yeah, yeah.
And somehow, like, newspapers are still around, barely.
Yeah, they'll be gone once like people over 60 are dead.
So Jones.
So that's the future predicted by the BenHeck.com podcast.
Yeah, one that everyone knows. But so Jones, what's this computer you're building?
I don't know. I just found some sort of thing. Like, I see Amazon, like, they make this really easy. Cause you look at the processor, then they're like, well, here is the processor plus a cooler, processor plus liquid cooler, processor plus gaming motherboard. And then, what the fuck is Optane? Have you heard about this? I'm seeing, like, Optane. It looks like it's Intel Optane memory.
Oh, it sounds like an energy drink.
And then there's SSDs and shit or something.
Yeah, I have heard of that. It's some sort of memory resident RAM that can kind of work as a hard drive. I believe it also goes into an M2 slot.
Okay. So what's the M2?
Actually, yeah, Felix was talking about it one day.
So I don't know what an M2 slot is.
It kind of looks like a almost like a sideways.
Is it like a card edge?
Yeah, it's like a side edge card edge. It's probably like. I don't know, 20 or 30 connectors. It's usually built right onto the motherboard at a right angle, so the M2 card, which kind of just looks like an elongated stick of gum with memory chips on it, will lay parallel to the motherboard, kind of lays flat. And it's basically the new way to do solid-state hard drives. Actually, motherboards have had the slots for a couple of years.
When you said memory, I was thinking like, DDR-style
No. I'm sorry. Yeah, flash. No.
Okay, so it's not connected directly to the CPU. Then it's connected through the what they don't call it a Northbridge anymore. They call it a whatever they call it.
Well, anyway, solid state drive is still limited by the SATA bus. These are, I think are up to I think it's 4 to 6 times faster than SATA 3. So it's pretty fast. Although some of the M2 cards have SATA compatibility mode, so you have to make sure that if you get one, it's actually using the new faster protocol. And also, I think you need like a newer OS to do it or a newer BIOS to read it. But yeah, it's supposed to be the new hotness for memory and takes up even less space. So like Jones, you could have a smaller PC, you know?
Yes, which I am kind of hoping to get a smaller case this time. The one I've got is quite the beast at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a question, like liquid cooling, is there any point to it, really?
So liquid cooling is usually quieter.
That makes sense.
And it has and it can run your CPU cooler. So if that's your jam, then go for it. They can make those. They make those really nice, like all-in-one. I think it's Corsair. Makes like an all-in-one, like thing that already has like the liquid in it and all that good stuff.
So you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, there's this one here. It's like Corsair Hydro H100i V2 liquid blah blah blah. It kind of looks like it might be what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
it's got the radiator and stuff already attached. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of closed loop.
Yeah, those are actually pretty good. They're not like the best for water cooling, but they're definitely better than air cooled.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, because water has more mass with which to take away heat. Yep.
That was one of those things where I'm like, is this just like a nerd gaming thing, or is there actual merit to it?
Well, they actually recommend it for the AMD Threadripper, because I think it dissipates 180 watts.
Yeah. Those i9s are pretty up there, too. I think the i9's like over 200 now.
Damn. Well, that's probably under full synthetic load. You know, full possible load. Yep. I mean, that was one thing, like, with the Ryzen chips. Maybe we should explain the Ryzens to Jones. So, Ryzen was something that AMD came up with earlier this year, like in April, I think. And it was, like, a new line of chips. And then they made, like, a Super Ryzen, which is, like, two or three Ryzens glued together, and that's what the Threadripper is. Okay. But the Ryzens are actually, you know, pretty compatible with Intel, but they're also a lot cheaper, so it's kind of like AMD is back finally.
And it only took 10 years now. When did Pentium 2? I think that was 2007, because that was my last AMD chip.
Yeah, that was about the time. Well, basically, once Intel had the Core 2 Duo, that's when they started to really pull away. Because, like, Athlons were pretty popular back in the early 2000s.
Yeah. AMD Barton 2500 Plus. Shit was the bomb.
Yeah. I have read that the Ryzen isn't really that much better for gaming or Threadripper. It's still cheaper, but it's not like it's better. But when it comes to, like, video rendering or anything, like, processor-intensive crunching, I guess they're better than Intel, even though they're cheaper. But I'm sure Intel will just drop their prices or come out with something new to compete.
Well, they did. They came out with the i9, and that thing's a steaming pile of garbage.
Well, it seems like that was kind of a reactionary thing, right? And what, X99 chipset?
Yeah, they came out with a whole new chipset, too. So it's like, it was pretty much like a big FU for Intel fanboys.
It seems like one of those things that'll go down in history, like Windows Me or Rambus.
Yeah.
Oh, Rambus.
Yeah, I completely forgot about Rambus.
I had a computer that had that shit. I bet wrong on that one.
Was it also a BTX?
It was some Dell beast that I bought long ago.
Y'all remember that format, the BTX motherboard format?
That sounds like a
bird. Yeah, they basically took the ATX and flipped it upside down, which made sense, except that it was like how Rambus was. It was like kind of proprietary and
proprietary. Yeah.
What are you looking for in a computer, Jones? Long walks along the beach.
Let's see. I just want it to be able to play WoW with max settings. And then there'll probably be some other computer game I need to buy at
WoW
some point.
WoW 2.
So then I'll be ready.
Never. WoW 2.
I mean, really, that's the only game I really play anymore on PC is WoW. So, well, I shouldn't say that. I have played some of the other Blizzard stuff, but WoW is the only one I really consistently
play.
That's
the one you come back to. The bed is always warm there.
That's right.
Yeah, because...
Or sometimes I'll dip a toe in Overwatch or Heroes of the Storm, but...
Yeah, I've been playing
a ton
of that PUBG. I just can't get enough of that game.
You mean Player Unknown's Battlegrounds?
Yeah, and it's really interesting because I think we talked about this last time I was on the podcast, but it's just so different from a normal Battle Royale game.
I bought a new game, too.
Uh-oh.
It's called Battlefield 2.
Electric.
Okay.
Yeah.
I follow video games pretty closely and movies. It's like half my hobby is like keeping, obsessive track of things like that. Like the Han Solo movie that was 90% done, but they've been reshooting it for 3 months. Not fishy at all, right, Jones?
Oh no, not at all.
You're all gonna go.
No smoke there, That one, nope. I probably will, but that one it's much more iffy I would.
Is that one of those
actually,
face and then go see?
I would support it because then maybe we'll get a young Indiana Jones movie instead of a straight out reboot. I mean, that is one thing about Disney. Like, Disney doesn't seem to be in the reboot game. I mean, they're making a in-continuity sequel to Mary Poppins for crying out loud.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It's called Mary Poppins.
Emily Blunt?
Yeah. Yep. Edge of Tomorrow. Jim Halpert's wife. She's Mary Poppins.
She who should have been Tomb Raider.
Is it Mary Poppins 2, the origin story, Battle for Earth?
I thought you were a fan of Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, remember, I was the one that was like, they should cast Emily Blunt. They should cast Emily Blunt. And
well, Emily Blunt is actually British, for one thing.
Well, exactly. And she's got the right physique. And she had done Edge of Tomorrow, so she's proven she can do, action and shit like that.
Okay, Google. How old is Emily Blunt?
420.
She's probably, mid-30s, maybe?
34.
Yeah.
That's actually younger than I would have thought, so... Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at, Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man, it's like, why not cast older people who are more appropriate? I mean, look at this effing Tomb Raider with Tom Holland. I mean, give me a effing break. I think Sony's just on drugs.
Are they going to try to be, the new rebooted Tomb Raider? Because she's,
mid-20s. Yeah, she's in her 20s. She's Mrs.
Right.
Fassbender. But yeah, I don't know. When they cast her...
It's definitely supposed to be the reboot, because she's got a dirty gray tank top and a bow and arrow.
Do you think she'll have to wade through a river of blood?
That was pretty gross.
That was my favorite game that came out that year.
There's a part in the trailer where she's walking across the wing of a crashed bomber in the jungle, which is right from the video game. It'll still suck, though. I mean, I think video game movies are just cursed.
Hey, the Warcraft movie's good, goddammit.
You heard it here first.
Okay. It is. Not perfect, but what the fuck movie is?
What about
2001?
Prince of Persia, where Jake Gyllenhaal is Persian.
That movie's pretty fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I mean, I didn't play the games all that much, but I mean, I thought the movie was fun.
And I actually really liked the game.
Have you ever seen...
So.
Is Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Gosling actually the same person?
No.
I
guess I need to watch a trailer.
I don't know. I don't know if they've got stuff where it looks like it was lifted right out of the game. I don't know. That gives me a little bit of
hope. Yeah, because those games are pretty good.
And yeah. Dominic West is her dad.
Okay.
So they gave him a job.
I gave him a job.
He deserves work.
I'm going to watch the trailer right now while you keep talking.
Wasn't he like the bad dude in John Carter?
Him? I don't know. I just know I've been watching The Wire on HBO, so it's like, why didn't this guy ever have more of a career? I mean, he seemed like he's pretty charismatic. But Lance Reddick, you know, obviously is. Hey, he was in your favorite movie, John Wick.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
An extra in John Wick? Which one of the many people that he died in that movie was he?
No, he's the black guy.
Oh, he's the dude
at the desk.
Yeah, he's like the concierge guy. Yep.
He's like, Mr. Wick, your usual broom. I'm Lance Reddick, and I'm really cool. I was also in Lost, and he talks like that.
He's like, I will watch your dog for you in this movie.
Yep. I think Lance Reddick is way cooler than Idris Elba, who's also in The Wire.
They're both pretty cool.
They're both kind of one note, but I like Lance Reddick's one note better. Because like if I'm playing, you know, like Horizon Zero Dawn, and all of a sudden this voice comes over my Dorito and it's like, Aloy, I know who you are. It's like, it's Lance Reddick, right? You know who he is just by his voice. That's cool.
How does a voice come over a Dorito?
That's when Ben's had a little too much. Woohoo!
Sounds that way.
All right, well, Jones and I have to keep talking about nonsense.
I watched her. She looks too young.
That's what my thought was with her, is she just didn't...
But she was young in the reboot.
I suppose.
And her voice doesn't really seem to be like Tomb Raider.
Is she? She's not actually British, right? She's the Danish girl, which means she must be Danish.
I have no idea.
It's a bad joke.
And she's shagging Fassbender, so who knows? All the
trailer, they just show like action scene. It's like usually when that happens, it's not going to be a very good movie.
Yeah,
it's true.
Well, and also, everything looks like fake and CGI.
Everything does look
like,
really
one of the big things.
Low budget CG for a movie nowadays.
You know, they need to make another Indiana Jones movie. Like, have real stuff. Like, you know, just put a real snake down there, put a piece of glass in front of it, and it just looks better. You know, all those crappy.
Yeah, because actually,
CGI.
Speaking of Indiana Jones, the Indy 4 movie, the best scene was that motorcycle scene, which is like almost all real stuff.
Yes,
that was like
the
best segment they had, and it was amazing. It was all real, and they did all the stunts.
Yeah, or like stuff in the third movie where, like, you know, Sean Connery's on the tank treads, and you know it's a fake tank, but it looked real, and he was actually
But then they
faked
the plane scene with a really bad blue screen.
Yeah, that movie does have a lot of really bad chroma compositing, doesn't it? Or like when he throws the Nazi out of the blimp and then he's shaking his hand at
the blimp
luggage. Terrible.
Well, the problem with that is with that scene is they didn't for some reason get depth of field right, because the blimp is in real good focus and he is in really good focus.
Maybe they just have a lot of light in the right lens.
Also, you can see the black outline of the blimp on the blue screen.
Well, see, that was back when they were still doing chemical composite blue screen.
Go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to say, like, blue screen, it didn't really get, like, really good until, like, I think, like, 93 or 94 when they started doing it digitally. Like, True Lies was one of the first movies to do it digitally.
I was just going to say, like, if people go back and listen to, like, the podcast from, like, 10 years ago.
With us?
Yeah, we'll be on there saying, for Tomb Raider, all you have to do is make Indiana Jones with boobs. I know that will be on there. I know it will, because we've talked about this.
We actually talked about that, like, when I came on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a recurring topic, but it's like when they made the first Tomb Raider, it's like, you know, Angelina Jolie was pretty decent casting, but it's like, how did they fuck that up? It's like, all you need to do is make Indiana Jones with boobs.
Done. Well, I mean, the script was garbage.
But I'm just saying, it's like, God damn it.
I think one of the things that worked really well about Indiana Jones is that, at least two of the movies, the things he was going after was like steeped in actual like religion or history.
It felt
real. Right. Like everyone's heard of the Cup of the Cross or whatever.
Cup of Christ.
Last Supper Cup.
And the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. Actually, is that even in the Bible?
I have no idea. Does it matter?
I don't know. I
mean, but everyone's heard of the
the Last Supper and stuff.
Or they've heard of the Arthur legend, you know, or the Crusades. Yeah. Everyone's heard of that stuff. Yeah. So it's like, oh, you know, this makes sense. But then if you have Ex Machina woman, like, going to some random island and, like, she's going to go for a treasure of the Jumba King. What? It's like
the best Indiana Jones movie, the second one, was about some Indian legend that no one's heard of.
I'm sure there was some basis.
Oh yeah, but
you know, in reality,
did you know anything about those three stones? It didn't matter.
No. They only taught us about the Civil War when I was in school. That was the only thing that ever happened in history.
They didn't tell us about that, but we did see a guy rip a heart out of somebody's chest. So Temple of Doom, I'm in. Like, I didn't expect to see this shit coming.
Well, but the thing those movies have in common is, like, you've got some sort of holy relic, and then there's a bunch of wackos that want to use it to take over the world. Well, even the stuff in, you know, Hitler was obsessed with the occult, and they actually did go around digging up stuff. Yep. I mean, it actually happened. So it's like you take something from reality and you just push it a little bit further, or like, what if this happened, or what if this happened? And it's based in reality, and that gives it kind of a real tangible feel. Also, it's not all CGI.
Well, I think going off that, Ben, it's like, what if that was real? Like, the Ark was actually real. That's all it took in that movie to make that movie make that work. It wasn't like,
I think the Ark of the Covenant probably definitely existed. I mean, I don't know if it was actually magical, but I bet they had a box they carried around.
Did it definitely maybe exist?
You know, that came up at work yesterday. I was like, Karen, I will definitely maybe help you with your favorite movie. And she's like, who's in it? And I'm like, everybody. all they have to do is make a female Indiana Jones.
Okay,
that's
so
the thing,
what
like,
would the female Indiana Jones have to be looking for then?
Well, I would say not just what she's looking for, but it needs to be a good character. I think that's what people forget about with Indiana Jones, like why it works so well, was because, you know, he was smart, and then he had
a day job as a teacher,
you know.
So he wouldn't break.
Kind of, yeah. But then he also had a character arc, you know. He starts out as a non-believer, and then, you know, as the movies go on, like, he actually starts believing in some of the stuff. Or, like, he has a crisis of faith, like in the third movie, where it's like, you know, he has to literally take a leap of faith to save his father's life. So he has to, you know, put his beliefs of, he's kind of, you know, kind of an agnostic treasure hunter. He has to put those beliefs to the test to save his father. Like, there's actual character development in it, rather than Angelina Jolie, you know, shooting 84,000 bullets at a CGI monster.
That's true. It's true.
But they don't put that kind of stuff in the other movies, or like, you don't have like people beating children in Tomb Raider, or like people getting their hearts ripped out. You don't have people going through helicopter blades or propeller blades.
That's the thing, though.
It's more satisfying to see a big guy turn around, look at a blade, and then see some blood splatter than all
the
CGI nonsense in the world.
Tomb Raider video games do that.
It kind of reminded me of Dead Space, where like there's all these different ways for her to die, and they went to the trouble of doing, you know, animating all the gruesome deaths, which is cool.
Dead Space.
But, yeah, you just have to have... I think you have to have like a realistic good main character. I think that's what it really comes down to, because everything else revolves around that. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah, having like a good character that, I mean, that's essential for any of this stuff.
Also, a really simple plot. The Indiana Jones movies have really simple plots. And anything nowadays, it's always like, well, I think you complained about that back in the day, Jones. Like, you can even see the new Tomb Raider trailer. She's got some stupid box, you know, and she twists it, and then she opens it, and a key comes out, and the key goes into a letter on her father's grave, and then somebody comes out. It's like, who? That's
For fuck's sake.
But that's in the trailer.
Right? Does Nicolas Cage
that's a bunch of bullshit
come out on the scene
versus
now?
Like Harrison Ford, like, oh, here's a wall. I'm just gonna kind of like shove it over. I'm gonna push this. And, yeah,
you're right. And actually, the fourth Indy and Jones movie kind of breaks that, where they we were just talking
Indiana
about
Jones
with
movie?
Aliens, but they break that with having
by
having all these like discoveries of like figuring stuff out.
And that's why the movie sucks, is because the plot just meanders in circles. If this movie does exist, like they go into the jail cell in South America where Jones's father is being held, and it's like, oh look, there's markings here. Let's follow those markings, and then they go someplace else, and then there's another clue. Like that makes a movie.
But
suck.
They kind of do
like,
that in episode or in the third one, where they go to the library and they find the X, and then they go down. And then they get the rubbing, and then they have to find the book and all this other stuff.
No, not really. It's pretty simple. I mean, they find the shield and it says Alexandretta.
That's true.
And that's it.
They already have. No, you're right. Because
and the only reason they need the book is, and they go looking for his father first, and then they go looking for the book because they need the clue. So, yeah. I mean, I do think the scene like where they have all the Nazis book burning is a little extraneous. In
no,
that
they
movie.
Only did that.
But
they only did that scene so that Indiana Jones could meet Hitler.
Yep. Because
that's
that
the only
really
reason, that was the only reason to have that
has
scene.
No point otherwise. Yep. But it's kind of funny, you know.
It's better.
But it's still a pretty simple plot. Or like Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's like, okay, go meet your old girlfriend, get this thing she has, put it on a stick, and dig there. That's it.
That's true, yeah.
And like the complications
arise because of the enemy, not because of the plot.
Yes, the enemy and the characters. Yeah. Yes, exactly. The plot is simple, but it's everything around it is complicated. I think that's good because if you're watching some movie where Alicia Vikander or Angelina Jolie has just like solved the 84th puzzle and put a clock into like a gear box, and see that works in a video game like Uncharted, but in a movie it's just boring because you don't know where the story is. I mean, the example I always like to bring up is Titanic. Like they have in the beginning, the guy shows the old woman the animation of the ship sinking, right, on the computer. And that shows you exactly the steps that will happen throughout the movie. So when things are happening in the movie, you already know what's going on. Like you don't have to be brought up to speed. Just like in Indiana Jones, you know, he's like, okay, here's the Ark of the Covenant. Here's a stick. He explains all that to the government agents in the beginning of the movie. So when the movie's going on, they don't have to re-explain that to the audience, so the audience can keep track of the action and the changes and the, you know, the different beats that are happening. They don't have the plot has already been explained. It's like, this is what we're going to do. And then the rest of the movie is just them executing the plot and the things that happen along the way. And that's why those movies are more satisfying, because there's very simple plots.
Yeah, it sticks.
Yes. Because you know, Tomb Raider is going to end like some giant room with like an ancient chessboard made out of marble Chinese warriors, and they'll be moving around in gears, and she'll have to jump from spot to spot to pick up a rock, and then she'll roll out of the way into a beam of light. You know, it's going to have all that shit, right?
Oh, of course.
Instead of just like, you know, like just punching or a minecart chase.
And that's so much more satisfying to watch.
Yeah,
but the thing is you'd probably rather have that chess game, pick up rock, dodge stuff in a video game.
Right, because in a video game it makes sense because you have to give the player something to do. You have to create, you know,
a puzzle,
time-based
and
actions
stuff.
And requirements in order to make it a game. Yeah. But in a movie, it's – because here's the thing. Okay, so if I'm playing Uncharted and I'm playing as Nathan
you
Drake.
You are Nathan Drake.
Who just like – well, and just like Indiana Jones, he's like, you know, an adult man. You know, he's old. You know, he's experienced, which adds a lot of, you know, weight to the character. Just, you know, the fact that they're older versus, like, 20-year-old Nathan Drake, which is what Sony wants to do now. But, you know, I, as the player, I'm getting enjoyment out of solving the puzzles, right? Like, that's the literal puzzle solving for me that I'm getting enjoyment from. But if we're watching a movie, I think you said this years ago about the original Tomb Raider Jones, like, Angelina Jolie goes into a tomb and she always knows exactly what to do. She yep. grabs something and she always knows, oh, I have to turn this counterclockwise. I have to turn this clockwise. Think about it, even like with your car keys, like sometimes I forget which way to turn the key to open the lock, like let alone a tomb no one's ever gone in. So, but the thing is, those characters just going in there, it's not really fun to see them figure things out. And that's why all those like overly done machinations of plot and gizmos and lovers is not interesting in a movie.
So what about
because
what about
care,
the scene
you know?
In the first Indiana Jones where he's putting the sandbag down on the pressure plate to get the idol?
Well, that's bullshit because that idol weighs way more.
Let's ignore the fact that the physics doesn't work. But that's him looking at a puzzle and figuring it out. But
it's
could
a really
be,
simple
I think
puzzle,
what makes that scene
right?
work, though, is because he fails at it.
That's another thing that's great about Indiana Jones. He fails. He gets dumped by women. He gets his ass kicked. He feels real.
That's why Die Hard was awesome. Like, McClane's getting his ass beat all the
his wife
time.
Wants to leave him.
Yep, his feet are cut to shit. Doesn't even have shoes.
He tapes a gun to his back.
You know, the...
Yeah.
In the first movie, he was just this guy who gets his feet cut. Now he's like blowing up helicopters with motorcycles.
Yeah, apparently they're going to have another Die Hard movie, and he's going to be in it.
Oh, God. That, I watched the one with Russia, and that was the most inert movie I've ever
wow.
seen. I don't know a better word for it, inert.
It just laid there.
Yes, it laid there like a turd in a driveway in the sun.
Oh, God. Oh, that's awesome.
Did you see it, Jones?
God, no.
I haven't
Don't.
Seen
it's,
anything
oh,
past.
God.
I made the it's, mistake of watching the fourth one, and that was...
Oh, my God. The fifth one makes the fourth one look like the first one.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God! It's a huge step down. It's Ugh. Oh, I, you know what? I'm not gonna waste.
Yeah,
my
I haven't seen
it.
Anything
it's,
past
it's
the
not
second Die Hard movie. So.
How did we get from building a
only
computer
on the BenHeck.com podcast? Download it now.
You could play Tomb Raider on your computer.
I have no. Oh, maybe that. Well, I don't know. I don't know how the hell we got here, but that's all right. The reward.
Well, here's a question. Regardless of quality, would you rather watch a Tomb Raider movie or an Uncharted movie?
With different casts? Let's put it this way. Are both movies going to be good?
I guess a better question is, what movie has a better chance of being good? Because I would say on paper, Uncharted would have a better chance. Because I think... there's kind of a stigma with Tomb Raider that
kinda
has
like
to be
kind Underworld?
Of schlocky, yeah. Because it's been around later. Yeah, but like the Uncharted games have always been highly regarded for their storytelling and dialogue and characters.
I think I would rather see a good Tomb Raider movie.
Because
than
a good
Uncharted
movie is just Indiana Jones 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Tomb Raider, we might be able to get something different.
Well, probably not. Yeah.
I mean, to me, like, if they could somehow make a Tomb Raider movie that, you know, at least captured what the game is, it'd be like Indiana Jones, like, dialed up to, like, 10. Because, you know, it has, like, the completely crazy, like, action sequences and stuff, but... You know, and I don't know how well that stuff would translate into a movie, because again, it's the difference between a video game and a movie, and you know what's fun with which. But
what studio is making that anyway?
The Tomb Raider movie is, oh God, I don't
know. Paramount.
Yeah,
no, Lord.
So it's Warner Brothers, because they bought the rest of MGM.
Hmm.
So the rumor was, Jones, that the first Tomb Raider was like an unmitigated train wreck when they filmed it.
Yeah.
And so they had they brought in Stuart Baird, like who's a, you know, classic editor, mm-hmm. and they basically gave him Star Trek Nemesis to direct as a reward for salvaging Tomb Raider.
Wow.
Because I guess it was actually worse at one point.
Wait. Wow. Nick Frost is in the new Tomb Raider movie? I might have to go see it now. What's he gonna play? He usually plays like.
He's gonna play
it. He usually plays like a goofy like cop or goofy sidekick or. Oh, they don't have what he's gonna be. He is unlisted. He might be like a background character
a
or something.
Did the Tomb Raider new games have like supernatural stuff? Oh yeah, they did, didn't they?
Though I think that like looking back, and I went back and played like the first rebooted one. I think she was just high the entire time.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of games, I bought a new game.
So
off
you
Steam.
Said this, and then we got in this huge thing about Tomb Raider.
Oh, yeah. That's what got us into Tomb Raider. Yeah, you're right. I don't know how that got us into Tomb Raider. I guess you could buy Tomb Raider on Steam, right?
Yeah, probably happened.
Right. Oh, anyway, so. Anyway, so. So I bought Cuphead, which I've been seeing in the news for video games for years and years.
So what's
and I guess
Cuphead?
It finally came out. It's really weird. It's kind of like. It's kind of like Contra or Metal Slug.
So it's a side scroller?
Looks like a Disney cartoon from the 30s. Yeah. It's technically, I would say it's a boss rush game.
Ooh, the graphics look cool.
But I know it's weird. Like, I don't usually like.
Now I've not seen this game.
Have you not seen this game before?
I've never heard.
I saw it on Twitter that someone said this game Cuphead is like the hardest game ever. And I'm like, I'm gonna have to try it. And I actually just. Oh wow! It does look like a 30s Disney cartoon.
Yeah, an official soundtrack that you can buy.
Well, anyway, so I don't know. For some reason, I saw it. You know, I'd see it in like articles about video gaming, and I'd be like, "Oh, that looks like a game that'll get really good reviews, and then no one will buy it." But apparently, people have responded to it really positively. So anyway, I was watching YouTube videos of it yesterday at work, and I was like, "This is just seeing the bosses and like the forms they take and like the things that change." And I'm like, "This is insane!" And I actually thought, I'm going to stop watching this YouTube stuff so it won't spoil the stuff for me. And I'm just going to go buy it because it's only $20. So I started playing it last night. And it is insanely difficult.
Apparently it's been a big complaint.
But
and guess what?
Just
Nintendo hard. So stop bitching about how hard games might be.
You know, it's tough, but it's not really that much different from like an old 80s game.
Yeah, like
I mean,
just
a lot...
looking at it, it looks like DuckTales and like those sorts of games. Like, just
well,
you at
like
it, which is
you
cool.
like shoot at the bad guys.
But I see but that I was... it has original jazz recordings and
yeah, it has cool. It has an action jazz soundtrack.
Nice.
So I was fighting these frogs that turn into a slot machine. Again, it's just fucking bizarre. But this one frog was like throwing punch fists at me or something. And then I realized, like, oh, I can do that Contra thing where you just stay pointing forward and you jump to dodge projectiles, but you keep shooting forward the entire time. And it was kind of weird. Like, I had to, like, bring back the old Contra, Super Contra muscle memory. And then I was like, oh. Although I would say it's probably harder than Contra. Yeah. But I don't know. Once I started, I kind of dismissed it. But once I started playing it, it really clicked for me.
I'm like, oh my god,
this is awesome. So you should check it out.
Yeah,
nice.
I was going to use,
make sure you use
my Switch Pro controller.
There you go. So, yeah, but it's just, it's pretty insane. Like, the amount of work.
How many years was it in development for?
Astonishing. Like, all the animations. Oh, God. They first talked about, like,
too long.
Three or 4 years ago?
BioShock Infinite was in longer development.
Apparently, yeah, but that was, like, a huge company. I think this is, like, a pretty small company. I think it started as, like, a husband and wife team.
Duke Nukem Forever finally came out.
it sure did.
Still waiting on Half-Life 3.
I kind of wish too. Gearbox would make another Duke Nukem game. I think that I would actually be interested in that, because that would be kind of funny. Like, he could be like this macho asshole in a super politically correct world, and everyone's like, "You're a dinosaur, Duke. You don't belong here." Be like, "Blow it out your ass." And then, of course, the aliens show up, and they're like, "Oh no, who can save us?" And he'll be like,
"Well, for those that didn't play that game forever, the aliens come back." And then they play nice and, like, want peace. And so, like, the president does tell Duke off, saying, "You're a relic from an ancient past. We don't need you anymore." And then, of course, the aliens start fucking shit up and kill the president and, yeah.
And then, given the development time of that game, that president could have represented Clinton, Bush, or Obama.
It's actually kind of sad to think about it that way. Three president dynasties went through the development cycle of that game.
Oh, that reminds me, Jones. I got the Walter Mondale pin for the groundskeeper guy.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. So, like, yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's like, yeah.
Northern Minnesota,
and out of touch or whatever. Yeah. So,
well, I don't know. I think this should take. It should take place in northern Minnesota. So,
yes,
that's where Walter Mondale is from.
State that he won. Yep.
So, because remember how we wanted to have that bumper sticker and Possumus Woman, but we didn't get advance.
I had it in my car for years.
Well, yeah. What was that guy's name?
Adlai Stevenson. Yep.
Yes, and they had the. Why don't you tell the story of why we made a bumper sticker?
Well, it was just for that very beginning of Possumus Woman, where it's like in the
50s.
Yeah, and they're dumping like toxic waste. And so we were going to have a truck, like an old 50s Chevy or Ford or something. Yep. And then it was going to have that bumper sticker on it to help cement it as the time period or whatever.
Well, it would have had to be like a 54 or newer to have that bumper sticker on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that bumper sticker was hilarious because I had it on my car when I started working at the company I work at now. And one day, one of the VPs was talking to, like, my boss, and he had noticed my car but didn't know whose it was. And he's like, "Who do we have working here that has the Adlai Stevenson bumper sticker on their car?" And then my boss, you know, told him it was me and all that. And the guy's like, "Wow, I didn't think we had anybody that was old enough to even know who the hell that was." And I'm like, well I watched the movie 13 Days, and so, you know, like, he shows up in that, so.
You know, I still have never seen that movie. I really want to see it. I should watch
it. It's pretty good. That's, like, Dave Campbell's favorite movie. At least it was, like, 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know if it's changed since then, but.
Well, anyway, since we didn't get that bumper sticker to show up in Possumus Woman, I'm making sure that a Walter Mondale political button appears in the new Ghost Squad episode. So, yeah. Jeez. I guess it's a running inside joke.
Which is half in the can now.
Is that the industry term, Jones?
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. So,
it is, actually.
Yeah, so we're making a sequel to the Ghost Squad episode of the Ben Heck Show. Although it's not actually airing for the Ben Heck Show. We're just doing it for fun on our own. But it'll be on YouTube. We have 28 days in which to finish it. See, the film is not what I'm worried about, Jones. It's the editing and the special effects.
Yeah, because you're going to have... That's what I was kind of wondering. Because you're going to have some effects work in this one, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, actually, Max was asking about that today. He's like, "I notice you have Felix the Ghost shooting force lightning out of his hands." And I'm like... yeah. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, "Oh, that was... You must have added that." And I'm like, yeah, a few weeks ago. And he's like... Do we have time for that? And I'm like, oh yeah, we can both work on the special effects.
The scream unlimited power.
No, he should have. He says something, because I want a part where we have the ghost in the sit down interview part as well, and he's like transparent, you know, like people talking to him. So we'll see. I can't remember exactly what he says, but yeah. Nice. So look for that. Look for a special Halloween treat on YouTube from the Ben Heck crew this Halloween.
Woo! Can't go wrong.
And so Jones is in it.
He's not just a voice on the other end of the microphone then.
Yeah, I'm not like the Nixon head in a jar or whatever. Like, I still have form.
Yep, and he has all sorts of Jonesy lines.
Is that like his
lines,
entire
like,
script?
And he tries to shake money out of a condom machine.
Wait, that raises even more questions of what this is about.
and then I stroke it. So,
you know, Max and I are actually talking about reshooting that with a bigger pile of whipped cream.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it was funny because we were like, oh, we're wandering around the woods with a condom machine and a bunch of whipped cream, and then if anyone stops us, we'll tell them we're not making a porno.
Yeah. See how that works out.
I guess the people will just have to see what happens in Ghost Squad 2.
Is it an
origin
story?
That was hilarious, though, when we were out there, like, filming, and I took a picture of it when the setup was done, and I texted it to Dale, and Dale responds, he's just like, LOL, like, where is that? Like, he thought that it was, like, actually something that I had stumbled across. It was so great. So then I had to respond. I'm like, well, we're actually filming like the sequel to Ghost Squad. Then he was, you know, he was like, eh, that makes sense. So,
yeah, no more questions. I understand.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. We talked about new computers, then Tomb Raider for a long time, and Cuphead. What's left? Parker
so
put down Kingsman here.
That movie's sequel is out now, right? Yeah, so I saw the trailer for that.
It just
and
came
I'm
out
like
a week or two
ago.
Oh,
that looks like a really cool movie. And then I realized it was a sequel. I didn't know the first one existed. And so, so I went and watched the early one, or the first one, on Amazon Video, and I liked it a lot. That was right up my alley. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's not as goofy as... Because a lot of people say it's like a spy spoof. But it's not as goofy as Austin Powers.
Well, technically, James Bond is a spy spoof. People don't remember
nowadays,
that.
You couldn't even tell the difference.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and Matthew Vaughn's a really good director. But, he should direct.
Yeah, so I'm
going to
go see
ever.
The new one now.
Oh, that's right, Ben.
What?
I think it was the last podcast we made our prediction, and then within days it came true.
Oh, that's right! For Star Wars Episode 9.
Yes.
It was like the day after we recorded.
Yeah, because let me see. Well, you can talk or whatever, and I'll see if I can find your text from the day
or two
after.
What was the prediction? That wasn't on that podcast.
Okay.
Well, we were talking about Star Wars and how like there's been all these like Rogue One had a ton of reshoots, Han Solo's going in a ton of reshoots, and I was like, I bet they get rid of Colin Trevorrow before Part 9 even starts filming. The guy basically they're like, oh, Jurassic World made a bunch of money, that makes you perfect to direct Star Wars 9 for some reason,
and then JJ
yeah
back.
Like a day or two after we. Yep. Yep, because I think they wanted like the safest bet. But you see, I think what happened with that, like if like let's say you're Kathleen Kennedy and you hire a director like Gareth Edwards, and then you have to reshoot half his movie, then you hire another director and you have to reshoot half his movie. Like if that happened a third time, I think like some serious heads would roll at Lucasfilm. So I think they were just hedging their bets so it didn't happen again. Because if you think about it, like reshooting half of Rogue One and reshooting half of Han Solo, yep, that's like an entire movie's budget down the drain.
Pretty much,
that's a lot of money. And you know, everyone's like, oh, it's Star Wars, it makes the money, and it's Disney that makes the money. It's like, well, yeah, it makes the money, but yep, I think they'd still rather have $100 million in the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure their shareholders would rather see that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, it was just funny because we were talking about like, yeah, Trevorrow is probably not long for this world, and then sure enough, it was like a day or two later. Let me see here.
Damn, I don't know. I mean, I didn't see Safety Not Guaranteed.
I'm talking about the new
one. I thought Jurassic Park was junk. So
Safety Not Guaranteed was okay.
Jurassic World.
I actually like Jurassic World, but
it's garbage.
I'm not gonna say it's like a great movie.
You just
but
like
I was
the chick that was in
entertained
Heels.
By it. I did because her chest glistened through like the whole movie, and it was wonderful.
You mean Bryce Dallas Howard?
Yes. Yeah, here it is, September 5th. At 5:39 p.m., Ben sends me an email, and it just the headline is, "Seriously, are we ever wrong?" And then it's just a link to the tweet from Colin Trevorrow basically saying that he wasn't doing the movie anymore.
Well, did you see his statement when he first got hired onto that? He was like, "I don't see it as a directing job. I see it as a seat at a campfire, and it's my turn to tell a story."
Yeah, that's
so pretentious.
God.
Also,
that's
he looks like a 45-year-old hipster.
Yeah. And then then I responded through text, and I just said, "Yeah, we should hire out our predictive services to Hollywood." And then it was like Disney, so we're gonna go with Colin Trevorrow for episode 9. Us, two words, Matthew Vaughn.
Well, maybe that's how we could close out this episode is doing some more Hollywood predictions. And okay, what's a Hollywood? What can happen in the next month in Hollywood that we can predict? Blade Runner won't make all that much money.
Yeah, I could see that. It'll probably do kind of like what Alien Covenant did.
Yeah, our over and under at the shop is 35
million. On that movie,
I think
I don't think there's
like
enough people care enough about that franchise.
Only film buffs are even aware that it exists, and half of them don't like it.
Yeah, because most people are going to be like, "What the hell is this Blade Runner thing?"
Yeah,
and
people
be like,
might
oh,
go
Harrison
because
Ford's
of Harrison
in it for
Ford's
some
in
reason,
it, but not many.
Ugh. You know, I thought the trailer was well. I mean, the trailer was cool, but where he's like, "I had your job once, Ryan Gosling. I was good
at it.
He was terrible at his job." It's like he's getting his ass beat, and then Sean Young has to save his ass. Then he's getting his ass beat by Daryl Hannah, and I think he shoots her. Then he's getting his ass beat.
You can think of he succeeded at that one.
No, really, think about it, like,
well, yeah, Rutger Hauer kicks the shit out of him like all the time.
Yeah, Rutger Hauer, he defeats Rutger Hauer because Rutger Hauer just dies because he's like, it's time to die.
I'm going to have tears in the rain or whatever the hell it was.
So let's see. So he kills the stripper replicant. He shoots her in the back.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The other one gets killed by Sean Young, and then Rutger Hauer replicant just dies, and then I think he does fight what's her face? Daryl Hannah. Young.
Oh, Daryl Hannah.
Yeah, I remember because she's like got the leotard or whatever on. And
so do you still revisit that movie every 2 years? Is it or is that
about,
still
about
in...
about every 3 years? Yeah, I did watch it a couple years ago. I do appreciate it more as I get older.
See,
I still think it's
every single time I watch that movie,
overrated.
I appreciate it less.
Yeah. Main reason I have any interest in the new movie is just because Villeneuve's directing it.
I want to see the new movie. I'll go see it. I don't know if I have time this weekend.
I do like Gosling. Like, he's a really good actor, but he just, for whatever reason, he isn't the sort of actor that can, open a movie. Like, he's not a name like that, but...
Yeah, like he was really good in Nice Guys and nobody cared.
Yeah. Oh, that movie's so great.
Nobody cared.
He's like everything I've seen him in, he's been really good in, but he's just, for
I think
reason.
Blade Runner is the ultimate example of you can just have cool enough visuals and dazzle people with that and they won't realize that the
story
is pretty much junk.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the themes in Blade Runner are good, even though they're explored better in pretty much any other movie about robots ever made. But the story itself, it, like we said, it's just like you go someplace, you look for a clue. You go someplace, you look for a clue. You know, it's just like a string of events that are loosely
connected.
Remember,
he does spend 10 minutes looking at it, like, oh, I'm sorry. And talking to the computer to analyze that picture. That's so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'll say that's if that movie was only like an hour long, it would be a lot better.
And then he has like near negative 100% chemistry with Sean Young. Yeah.
Just like everyone ever, apparently.
Is Edward James almost going to be back as a Chinese person in the new one?
That would be awesome if he showed up. He could be a pimp again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He just like a pimp.
Yep.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If Deckard was a replicant, why was he such a wimp?
Hmm.
He was programmed that way.
I sure hope he's not an effing replicant, because that was just like, you know, Ridley Scott read a review once that movie started becoming popular again, and he's like, oh yeah, maybe he is a replicant. I'm going to edit the movie to make him a replicant, even though they say specifically the replicants die after 4 years. And now Harrison Ford is 30 years older.
Because aren't there like five different edits of that movie?
Oh, okay, Jones. I'm gonna call the big twist in Blade Runner 2049 right now.
All right.
The big twist will be that most of humanity are replicants, and they're actually hunting down the remaining humans.
That's probably a safe bet. Yeah, I could see that.
And then just replaced every so odd years with
new models or something.
Yeah, your brain goes into a new replicant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Bryce Dallas Howard, do you remember that episode of Black Mirror where they're brainwashing the soldiers and having them shoot homeless people?
I never watched it, so.
Oh, never mind. You didn't?
Nope.
Oh. There's actually a good episode with your favorite person, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Ah.
And it kind of goes back to the Uber thing, because like, let's say you're using Uber and you're like, ooh, cool, I can rate my driver. That's cool, right? Because shitty drivers will be punished or whatever.
Yeah.
So the new Netflix season of Black Mirror, it's everything's set like, I don't know, like 10 or 15 years in the future. And so you can rate everyone that you interact with on a daily basis, right? And so it follows Bryce Dallas Howard, and she's trying to like get into her – what is it? She's like a 4.4, right? And she's
trying to break the 4.5 club?
Yeah, no, that's literally what it is. She's trying to get a new apartment, but she has to be like a 4.5 or a 4.6 to get in. Okay. So the whole thing is about her trying to get to one of her old classmates' weddings, because if she hangs out at a wedding with a bunch of like 4.8s and 4.9s, then she'll get bumped up enough to be able to get the apartment. So it's kind of like taking the idea of rating your Uber driver, or your Uber driver can also rate you, by the way. Like rating everyone, it seems like a good idea, but then it takes it to its logical, horrible conclusion.
Okay.
Basically, it min-maxes that system.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. Yep.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should watch Black Mirror. Is a good show. It's interesting. I mean, it's basically the Twilight Zone with cell phones. That's the best way to put it.
Okay.
But yeah. Oh, Jones, you should watch when there's a whole episode with John Hamm. There you go.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah. That's probably the best episode of the whole series, the one with him.
I still have to watch that show that like him and Harry Potter did, where like
Harry Potter.
It's like in the early 1900s or something, and it's like they're doctors or some crap.
Is that the like, one? Is that the one where there's cider house rules?
I don't remember if Charlize's ass is sitting there or not. Probably not. What the hell is it called? It's like something. I'm gonna find it quick. Just a young doctor's notebook. That's what it's called.
Is it a sequel to The Notebook?
I don't think so. Could be a prequel. I think it's in the early 1900s.
Wasn't Ryan Gosling in The Notebook?
He was.
I knew it.
Yeah, Hamm and Harry Potter And is anybody else in this? Not really. But that's okay. I think it's like a British show or something. Yeah, it is. British television program. I was always curious since it's got Ham in it.
Huh. You should check out Black Mirror. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, it sounds interesting, so.
There are a couple of stinker episodes, but yeah.
Yeah, that happens.
Sounds more interesting than the new Blade Runner movie.
New Blade Runner movie's like hella long, I guess.
Oh, really?
Oh, so it's sticking with the tradition of Blade Runner, then.
I don't think the original one
Blade
was that
Runner
long.
Is not that long, I don't think.
It was just slow-paced.
Yeah. It was like a movie that should have been an hour and a half and probably got stretched to like an hour and 55 minutes.
And by the time it's over, so much time has passed that it is your time to die.
Yeah. That's actually one thing I noticed about the first Kingsman movie. It was like, I turned it on and I immediately looked how long it was and it was 2 hours and I was just like, ugh.
But it's awesome.
Yeah, it turned out pretty good. Well, they keep the plot moving. Usually when you see 2 hours, you know there's going to be like 30 minutes of just bullshit that nothing happens.
There's some very short 2 hour long movies like Mad Max Fury Road, for example.
That's true. But the it's more of a rule that if it's at 2 hours long, there's going to be 30 minutes of faffing about.
Well, movies didn't used to be that long. Like Indiana Jones is like an hour 45 and you're done.
Yeah, it's like Alien Covenant. I watched that thing, and it's actually just under 2 hours, I think. But yeah,
it feels longer because it's so stupid.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, the characters are so stupid.
Yeah, that was what that bugged me. I mean,
when you told me that you're gonna watch it, I made sure I didn't say anything about it. So I was curious to see what you'd think because. Yeah,
that was my biggest thing is just I hate stupid characters in movies.
Yeah, no.
It's like there's just too many of those moments in that movie. And
it made the people on Prometheus look like brain surgeons in comparison.
Yeah, Charlize running in a straight line in front of that thing looked like a genius move compared to half the shit that goes on in Covenant.
Well, Prometheus had like that cool like auto robot doctor alien abortion scene.
Yeah, that scene's freaking nuts. And that pissed me off. I probably shouldn't spoil it. I was just going to say, like with her character, it kind of pisses me off what they say ended up happening to her in Covenant after she went through all that shit. And then the way they handled that was just like, really?
I guess she just wanted more money than Sam Waterston's daughter.
Probably, yeah.
So.
But yeah, like, I think we've talked about it before, but yeah, like the Dawn of the Dead remake was an example of where characters are not stupid and they react, you know, like how...
See,
it's satisfying because they like do smart things. They're like, oh, there's like some sort of like zombie baby fucking thing. We got to get rid of it.
That's why I gave up on Walking Dead because Walking Dead, the plot only progresses when the characters are idiots. And it's just so frustrating.
So the only thing with sorry, I'm going to go back to that Dawn of the Dead remake. Was there any point, I don't know of how much Jones remembers of that movie, but was there any point of, at the very beginning, they locked themselves in the mall, right? And they're washing their hands in the fountain? I don't know if you remember that scene.
God. Yeah, it's been quite a while since I watched it.
So the washing their hands in the fountain, right? And then the camera is very, like, it's underwater, under the water, looking at the hands and the blood, like, rinsing off.
Okay.
And so it's like, oh, there's got to be something with that, right? Because why would they shoot that? And then nothing happens on that part.
They shot it because it looked cool.
It just looked cool. It was Zack Snyder that directed it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was like, that's actually my only beef with that movie. So I guess that's...
Yeah, I kind of like, I don't remember it very well either, but I kind of like how they had like the mall security guard got like a big head and like kind of took over. And
well, because he would in real life.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, things happened the way it would be sensible for them to happen, and it's like
and, it made sense too.
Yeah, because it's like when the baby's born, it's like it's you know it's going to turn into a fucking zombie, and the characters know it, and, you know, they have this argument over what to do with it, but it's, like, good that they have that argument instead of just being like, oh, well, it's a baby, we, you know, we can't, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's a fucking zombie.
So, kill it.
Yeah, you know, and so, and there's a lot of, I just remember that was a very satisfying thing watching that movie, is, like, all the way through it, it's like, these characters are not stupid. It's like, they might make mistakes, but that doesn't make them stupid,
and then,
you know.
Versus Alien Covenant, where it's like, Danny McBride, you are flying this ship with 2,000 frozen settlers on it, and you sent down 8 people, most of them are dead, so you just leave them there, you know? It's
yep.
like, it's more important to save the 2,000 people on your ship than these people that are all dead anyway, and... it's just stuff like that just is so stupid. It doesn't make any sense. It's like they write themselves into a corner where the characters basically have to do stupid things in order for the plot to keep going. Well, Roger Ebert had a name for that. He called it the idiot plot. And it's like a movie where the plot only goes forward if all the characters are idiots.
Okay.
So. Again, though, that's most like horror movies, so...
Yeah,
I think, yeah, most horror movies are that way, but that's why it's satisfying when you encounter one that's not like
them. Not
like I think Tremors was another good example of a movie
yes,
where everyone
Tremors.
Was intelligent.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring up what Bennett said earlier, video game Dead Space, because people are not stupid in that video game, and it's a fucking scary ass game.
I remember that game. I played the first one, and I never finished it, because I just would get to a point where I'm like, I can only play this game for, like, a half hour at a time, tops.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, it was, like, the atmosphere and everything, it was, like, so well done, you know, and I liked the way that there's, like, no HUD in it, you know, like, they had it where it's, like, on your character, where you can see, like,
ammo,
you know,
and stuff,
ammo
yeah,
and things, health. And health. And so you're just so immersed in it, and like the sound, and just yeah, like the overall atmosphere was just so intense with that game that I was just like, "Fuck this!" And
yeah, I actually finished the second and third one, and I don't know why people give the third one crap, but I liked it too.
I was thinking about playing that. Is it like cheap to buy now?
Yeah, they're pretty inexpensive. Have you ever played the second one?
I did.
So yeah, the second one's got problems with the closet monster syndrome in the room, but that's like the only problem with that that game. And the third one, I thought the third one was fine. I mean, you kind of go to like a planet and on a planet for a bit, but that was fine.
Steam only has the first two.
The third one is on Origin.
Aha, that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. But the second one. I don't know how far you got in the first one, Jones, but they make you go spoilers. Is it okay, Jones?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm
okay,
like...
so they go back to the Ishimura, right?
Okay.
And you're like, because like you actually see it in the distance, and you're like, fuck, I never want to go back to that fucking ship again. And then you see it, and you're like, and you're taking a tram, and the tram's like disabled, and so like we have to reroute you through the Ishimura, like. Repair yard, and you're like, fuck! And so you go back to there, and you're like, I hope I don't have to go to the infirmary. And like, you need to go through the infirmary to get through this section. And you're like, fuck! Like, everything you didn't want to do, they made you do in that section. I really like that. Like, looking back, that was really good, like, design, game design, because they knew what you didn't want to do.
Yeah.
I also liked in that second game where they were fixing the Ishimaru, you know, because it's like,
yeah,
I know, but I'm just the fact that they were fixing it. Like, the ship is worth a shit ton of money, so they're going to reuse it, even though all these horrible things happened.
Yeah, basically, you basically go in it, Jones, and, like, every place, you actually go through, like,
it's all
the
like,
entrance that you went into.
It's all covered with, like, plastic, and, like, it's
like,
being
clean. And clean, everything's, like, sterilized. It's really weird, because you didn't see that in the first game.
Yeah.
And then, of course, shit hits the fan, and there's shit tons of them in there, and
Yeah, that's definitely, like, for me, that first game, I mean, I never finished it, like I said, but that is...
Oh, they should make...
The most, like, I don't
they
know,
make
intense
a
game
where it's, like,
20 played,
years
like,
later, right? And they're flying around the Ishimura, and it's, like, haunted now.
So, you got the... I'm not going to... It sounds like Ben's going to finish the series now, right?
All
right. So I'm not going to spoil the end of 3. But yeah, 3 is pretty epic at the end.
Nice.
Like the very beginning of 3 is really cool because you like, it's kind of like the beginning of the first one, but you go to different ships that are smaller and then explore them in like a big like wreck yard. It's kind of cool.
Huh.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's impressive when you play games that are like that effective. It doesn't happen that often.
No. But it sounds like Cuphead is good.
Yeah, give it a try.
That's true.
Is that Ben Heck endorsed?
I don't know. I think I need to play it more. Sounds like but it. My initial impressions are very strong.
It is cheap, so that's something.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
You can get that for the price of, like, one evening
IMAX.
It kind
of reminds me
ticket.
Of the good old days of Xbox Live Arcade with, like, Braid and Castle Crashers.
Or Try Not to Fart.
Try Not to Fart.
What was it?
Oh,
God, I forgot about that thing.
You know, yeah, we still need to finish that game, Ben.
That was great with, the Xbox Arcade, man. Back in that thing's heyday where they were, you know, had, like, some pretty cool game coming out, like, every month or two. Those were good times.
Yeah, weren't we going to make, like, a super controller to make it easy to beat Try Not to Fart?
Pretty much, yeah.
Nice. Well, that was a good podcast. We actually talked about a pretty good range of topics, most of which involve Tomb Raider. Exactly.
As everything should be.
So what do you think? Would you rather see a Tomb Raider movie, an Uncharted movie, or neither movie?
And should Jones buy
what kind of
Threadripper?
Should Jones buy? Aside from just get a new one, damn it. It's been 7 years, man. Let us know in the comments below, and we'll see you next month. Bye.
Adios.
Later.